An analysis of the financial position as of March the 31st of this year shows a positive working capital of less than about $300,000. Now, this is compared to our audit report, which was produced, which showed negative working capital in excess of over half a million. I believe it was $800,000. However, when we did the analysis for the financial position or the balance sheet, you know, we find that, and we've talked with Ross Wisdom about this. You know, we find that we have a lot of analysis that really need to be done to show that the working capital by station fairly presents current assets and liabilities by station. And this is the analysis that we're doing now after our initial production of our generating this balance sheet, which we showed last month in the Finance Committee. And as the Houston KPFT National Finance Committee members pointed out, that, you know, there's no current interstation payable for Houston. And this is also shown on the balance sheet. So what it's requiring now, we've been working over the last 2 weeks, and we still have another a week and a half or so more work to go, along with doing the close, to give a really a position, and that we will have Ross Wisdom also. You know, we have a meeting scheduled with him tomorrow too to talk about this. That, you know, that our financial position fairly represents the working capital, and that's a big concern. And it's a big concern. Not only was it addressed in the audit, but the concern is that it must fairly represent our financial position. So there's a question there. So back to the results again. That if we look at the results for the third quarter, we see that the results are mixed, that we're trending downward, although we have a surplus. And that this is going to require the careful controls and creativity and maintaining a surplus at year-end. And as Arlene pointed out, as the year unfolds and as management is in place, what we are implementing now is that to have a monthly review with the general managers, you know, have the review where the accountability is, the general managers, the business managers, along with Arlene, myself, and others who would like to attend. So that's what we're implementing in order to carefully look at the year-end and make sure the controls in place. So as I said, the foundation forecasts a small surplus at fiscal year-end, and that all spending through this September is on hold for discretionary expenditures, and all headcount must be approved in advance by the executive director. For station fund drive scheduled during the summer months, WBAI is currently in a fund drive now. They have raised about, in pledges, close to $300,000, and they're, I believe, extending through next Wednesday. And the other stations are preparing to do fund drives in August. There are summer sizzles, and these are shorter fund drives. And also, WPFW, with the new management in place and working with the business manager, they've looked at, you know, their forecast. They're doing a forecast. I've been talking with them and their cash flow, and they had already saw that they need to really start their fall fund drive in September. So that drive will start in September, and therefore we're forecasting like either, you know, like a break even for PFW, and this is a great improvement over the prior year. So, but in addition to that, the foundation as a whole must seek to reduce costs if spending trends upward in any area. So this is the reason for implementing the monthly financial control sessions with the general manager. So just, you know, briefly to go through the results for the call so that our listeners, and we thank you for being on the call, to let you know exactly how we ended the third quarter. I will just give some brief numbers. That the listener support revenue totaled a little over $9 million, and it was a little bit better than budget. but it was over 700,000 better, or 8.9% better than prior year 2010. The total revenue, which is about $12 million, is also slightly better than budget, and also about 7.2% better than 2010. The total expenses were $10 million, which is a slightly better than budget, and also 3% though better than prior year. The unrestricted cash in bank is $1.4 million. Pacifica headcount at June the 30th totals 157.5, which equates to about 111 people, full-time equivalent staff persons. In summary, the year-to-date net income is now a little over $1 million, which is $500,000 better than budget and reflects a remarkable improvement over prior year when we were at about break-even, a little under break-even at this time last year. But again, what we have to do is we have to hold the spending for this fourth quarter. You know, we cannot, you know, revenue is going down because we don't have major drives in Q4, and that we must spending to so that it will not wipe out our surplus, which is about $1 million now. So this is going to require, you know, like really, really attention from all of us. So as I noted also in our in my email, let me just say again that the results for the first three quarters, the results are mixed. You know, compared to last year, we're better. But now, what also the results show that as a foundation, we have managers in place who can analyze this information, who can also make decisions. And also, I would say that as a whole, we are working better as a foundation and as a network. So therefore, you know, we are addressing the spending that was not in control in the prior years since we have managers in place at permanent managers at the stations, with the exception of KPFS. So that's basically where we are.
Thank you.
We lost $1,975,000 last year, and our plan this year is not to do that and to produce a small surplus. And we were talking about the pension audit. We completed the pension audit. I sent out a report to on our committee on Monday night, and also to the finance committee, so that we can do a review on that, and we can report more in detail to the PNB. But just to let you know that our assets at the end of 2010 in our pension plan is $753,145. So in our net assets available for benefits is $749,441. That's respectable for a small foundation, and also in terms that our pension was actually, this is like it was restarted after, I believe, 2002, that the pension was, it was distributed, so we really started over in 2003. So that's where we are. From 2003 or so, we're at $749,441. So that's basically, and the pension audit was complete. The cost of the audit was $10,000. It was to PMB, our auditor that did the audit prior year. And our cost to the people who administered our pension was about, I think it was to CKS, was I believe was $8,300. So that's kind of in summary where we are. And if there are questions, please.
This is Lydia.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, LaVarne. Okay, one more.
And we're over time.
Okay.
Nia Summer, please.
Okay, I heard Nia. I heard Campbell.
Lydia.
We're running way over time on everything. Is there an objection to extending 5 minutes so people can ask questions?
Without objection.
Thank you. Okay, so I've got Nia, Campbell, Lydia.
Ken.
And anyone else yet? Okay.
Teresa with one quick question.
Okay, and Teresa. All right, let's try to keep it short and sweet, everyone. Thank you. Nia, please, you're up.
Hi, Lamar. Thanks for sending out those reports. I didn't get a chance to look at all of them. But I was just going, based on your narrative, you said that we have working capital, but how about our payables?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I sent those out also.
So that means,
let me pull it up and I can give you a report on that.
Okay. Because in order to do that, that means that we paid all of our bills. I don't think we did.
Huh?
We didn't pay all of our bills, so I'm trying to, or have we paid all of our bills?
No, we have payables. You run payables on your balance sheet. We do not pay everything out. So we still have major payables, and I sent that out with the report. I'll pull it up and I'll give you a summary of where we are on that.
Thank you. Yeah, no. the gross figure.
And also, just one last, really quickly, summary. I had asked Levine for the budget that we're working on, that we're comparing these figures. Could I please have that budget also while you're looking for the payables?
I'm sorry. I sent you a note. The budget numbers are on the reports themselves. But if you want to just the budget alone, I can send that budget, the total without the actuals in it. But the budget numbers, those are on those columns there, and it compares the actuals to the budget for year-to-date, for the quarters. It shows the comparison to the quarters, both the amount and the percentage. And
right.
Also, so it's there. But if you don't have a copy of the budget, I have that right here.
Please. Could you please send me the actual copy of the budget? And have you made arrangements to pay off the arrears? Is there any arrangements made to pay off those arrears?
We have that on our cash flow in terms of how we're trying to pay that off. But I'd also like to go into the executive session if we want to talk about specific ones.
Okay. All right. Perhaps if you could give us all what the gross figure of payables are while we're still on this topic, and then if we want to have a more extended discussion of the specific payables, then we could do that in executive session. Is that acceptable, Nia? Mm-hmm. Nia?
Summer?
Sorry, who is that?
Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. You want to be on the stack? Or the queue?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. All right. Well, from what I grasped from what Nia was asking for, just to clarify, Laverne, I think, is what the total figure is, and then obviously specific discussion would have to take place in executive session. And perhaps you could go ahead and send that budget to the whole board in case other members also want to see it broken out differently so that you don't have to get more than one request for that.
That's what I'll do. Thank you, Summer. I'll send it to the total PNB.
Thank you. I appreciate that, yes.
Okay, sure.
And Campbell, you're next.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm a bit concerned, Laverne, you had mentioned that you're going to be meeting with the GMs, you would be having a review where the accountability is. You know, there's also an accountability that the National Board has as well. And I think that, you know, we would need some more substantive kind of information than the narrative. That's okay for on the air summary, but in terms of something that's going to be useful for in the context of analytical, managerial, or governance tools, we need to have something different from the subjective narratives, and we need to have show the trend data and other issues. In regards to the payables and receivables, we need to know the specific items and categories rather than just to say that, well, revenues are up and expenses are down or something of that sort. I think that, and we also need this in a timely fashion because, you know, I think that we've run into the problems that we have because we haven't seen where the finances were going, and I think that this is something that the buck stops at the board, and the board must be adequately informed. Hopefully, we'll act at this meeting a little later on to address that. But I just wanted to point out that, you know, the kind of narrative that we received is not something that I can feel, you know, even with a a fair amount of banking experience that is going to be useful. And I think that, you know, that's
Campbell?
Critical.
Thank you. I think you're very clear. You'd like everything in writing, correct? And
May I respond?
Yes, of course, please.
All of that was sent out to Campbell and to the whole board and to the national and to the finance committee, all of the details that shows by month, by quarter, by station, in detail, the major payables, that list I brought it up here, that was sent out. The headcount was sent out. So all of this information has gone out. So the point, though, on the timeliness, let me just point out that we are addressing this delays in getting the books closed, and we're addressing it in two ways. We can go into executive session to talk about this, but that we're doing evaluations of business managers, and also we're addressing this personnel-wise in terms of not closing the books when it's dictated to close the books. When the majority of the business managers agree to close on the fifth workday, and we have two stations that do not do that. And so we are addressing that both through our evaluations and through and with personnel. So just want to let you know that.
Thank you. Okay. And next up is Lydia, please. And we'll finish. We're way past time again.
We're addressing this with the finance committee.
I'm sorry?
We're addressing this with the finance committee in terms of these issues through the evaluations and with the finance committee. That's how we're doing that.
Okay, thank you. And if there's any other type of specific report, perhaps when we get on to Campbell's motions later, we can revisit this topic. I'd like to just finish out the stack, which is Lydia, Ken, Teresa, and Jessica, and then we need to move on. So please, go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, this is probably just an issue of semantics, so I really just want your definition of surplus, because I get confused when I see we still have huge major payables that we only paid down $38,000, which means it would be in the year 2018 or something before at that rate, before we could pay that down. So how do we come up with a surplus when you factor in our payables and liabilities that if anything we would be in a deficit? So it's just the terminology. You can define what you mean by surplus for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia.
May I address that? Okay. Surplus means you look at your revenue and you subtract your expenses, and that produces a net income of surplus. When you look at the payables, then that's when we're looking at the working capital, which was addressed in our audit, which shows your current assets minus your current liabilities. So those liabilities are those payables that you refer to. So our current assets include anything, including the cash, and includes the receivables. So then that's when you look at exactly, you know, what current assets you have if you needed to pay off all those things immediately. And with our stations, it goes across all stations. Now, some stations are very, you know, are doing very well, like your station, KPFK, you know, has in terms of working capital. But then you have other stations where you have these huge expenses where there is still some negative working capital. Now, again, like I said, we did the analysis on as of March the 30th, the first 6 months of the year. But we find that, and I have exchanged emails with Roth Wisdom, and we find that, you know, you really have to fairly show exactly your point, is that you have to show your current, what you have to pay now versus what your current assets that you have in the bank to do that. And in that aspect, our initial analysis shows we're slightly positive now versus this huge negative that Ross Wisdom put in the audit, which I think was about 810, if I remember. So we're slightly positive. So that's where you will see, Lydia, that's where you will see, you know, whether we can pay our bills and if they're paid.
Arlene to the staff.
Okay, thank you. I'll put Arlene on the stack. And Arlene, do you want to be on the end of the stack, or did you want to just address something that
I could just make? I just wanted to give a real one-sentence summary here. Under the accounting rules, nonprofit accounting starts basically at zero each year. That doesn't mean that you don't still owe things from past years, but that surplus that one is talking about is starting from the beginning of this year, as Laverne just explained, comparing the revenues with the expenses.
Okay. Thank you. Ken, you're next up, followed by Teresa and Jessica.
Okay, I'm off mute. I have a bunch of questions, but I'll narrow that down to one. Which, Laverne, which station did you say was going to be starting, as I understood it, next year's fund drive starting in this September? The fiscal year ends September 30th, but somebody's going to start a fund drive in September. And whatever that station is, how many fund drives have they already? How many fund drive days have they already had this fiscal year? And one other question: you say the listenership and membership is declining. Which stations are declining fastest? And are any stations not declining or actually increasing membership?
This is
so the first question is on the fund drive, and the second question is more specificity on the declining listenership.
This is Laverne. The station that's going to do their fall fund drive in September is WPFW.
Okay.
And a total number of days...
Could you say that again? I didn't hear you.
WPFW, the
okay.
Washington, D.C. station.
And
so the number...
Can I add one thing? They are not having an August drive, which they have had in the past, and that determination was made because Washington basically is empties out from people in August. And so,
what you're saying, what Arlene is saying, is they're moving the August drive forward or into the future.
That September drive is going to be a combination of August and October, what would have been August and October.
All right. And how many fund drive days have they had so far this year?
That's some analysis that we'll have to have assigned someone to count all those, and we can get those out in our package for this month, or we'll get it out next week.
Okay. Which stations are losing? All right. We don't have that data. Which stations are losing or holding the same or increasing? I understand you're saying the overall aggregated trend is down. Which one is leading the way?
Oh, I didn't say listenership. I said in terms of the revenue over this fiscal year. Like the first quarter, the revenue was the highest. I mean, I sent that out. Let me find on my little analysis here. And the second quarter of this fiscal year, it was down. And the third quarter ended in June. Our revenue was slightly under break even with our expenses. Let me just find my little report here.
Well,
so,
is there an analysis that shows that the listenership is staying the same or increasing or decreasing?
Yeah, we don't. That would come from our Mensa's database. So, in terms of what the listenership is, compared to how many pledges that we receive, that type of information, or the total number of people in the database, that would come from that Mensa's database.
Okay, we don't have a report on that then.
We have not requested that type of report.
Okay.
And we can do that by the end of the – we'll request that at the end of this quarter.
Thank you.
Sure.
Alex on the stack.
Okay. Next is Teresa and then Jessica, and then we're going to wrap on this. Yes, point of order. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, well, we extended time for 5 minutes, and that was 10 minutes ago, and we've already been going 25 minutes on this item, just to let you know.
Thank you. Does the body want to let the last two people have questions, ask them, or is there an objection to that? And I'm going to try and adjust these times because, clearly, and I'm going to have a suggestion at the end of our allotted time here because of other issues, but is there an objection to allowing the last two people have questions to proceed? Okay. Teresa, and then Jessica, and then that's it. Teresa Allen, can you hear me?
I'm sorry. I was a little bit confused. Now I'm a little bit more confused, and I had a quick question, but I do want to clarify this.
Please.
MEMSIS doesn't measure listenership. It measures membership, correct?
That's correct. That's
Arbitron,
what I said.
Arbitron measures listenership.
Right.
Okay. I did think I heard you say that listenership was down. Did you just meant membership?
No, I didn't say either one of those at the beginning. You mean just then when we were explaining it? Or at the beginning when I spoke?
Somehow at one point I just thought I heard you say that listenership was down. Okay.
No,
but if you didn't say
that,
that's fine. My only question then, other than clarification for my confusion, is having a pledge drive in September when the national board meeting is in September, do you anticipate that WPFW staff can handle that without too much strain?
Good question.
Yeah, they've already talked about that, and in all honesty, the staff of the station, it's actually the board members that do most of the work involved with the meeting there. They will still have some kind of an event for us and have a chance to meet them. We'll actually also probably have a chance to tour the station and see how the fund drive is going. The way they set up their fund drive, that actually can be done without interfering too much. But we talked about that, and it's not going to be a problem.
Thank you, then. That's all I needed to know.
Okay, thank you. And Jessica?
It's a challenge to us for all of us to support PFW during that fund drive.
Absolutely.
We could go for 3 hours.
Bring your checkbooks.
Yeah, and work the phone.
Go work the phone room. Yeah, come on. Out-of-town
yeah,
visitors. Come on. That would be nice, actually.
Yeah.
Jessica, please, your last one.
Yes, ma'am. Just a couple of points real quick. Number one, I'm not sure why I got home and looked at LaVarne's spreadsheets and the things she sent, and I started looking at this stuff, and yet I'm being compelled to vote or to listen to the conversation that's going on when I know she sent the information and some people are putting... It's, in other words, why are we asking questions of LaVar now when this information was already disseminated yesterday or the day before, from what I can understand? I'm not sure why these questions are being paraded in front of me, which leads me to believe that there's something for some other reason going on about the delay of this meeting. So, and then I'm being pushed to approve minutes, and those minutes were submitted later after LaVarn submitted hers, and plenty of people had plenty of time to ask plenty of questions before this meeting. So I'm shocked and appalled that my night and our meeting is being wasted with these questions. They appear to be some kind of negative light on LaVarn and what she's submitted. When if there was an issue, I would appreciate those things covered before I have to sit through this meeting. So I'm not sure where we're going with anything else. I can look at what she sent out, but you know, this apparently there's many people who are not agreeing with what she sent out, and if we're supposed to approve what she sent out, then I see that this is not going to happen, or maybe that these items were brought up for some other reason. So forgive me. I'm confused, and please clarify what we're doing here.
Thank you, Jessica. I'll let LaVarn speak, but just I don't believe we're approving anything right now. She's still just giving her report, and questions have members. But LaVarn, did you want to respond at all to that?
Thank you very much. I'm staff here as of the foundation, so it's my job to sit here and answer these questions. But thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, okay, and Jessica's point being well taken. Obviously, it would it's to everyone's benefit to review documents as best that you can prior to the meetings. And sometimes these questions can be asked via email, but of course, sometimes they are going to be asked in the meetings as well to clarify things that come up during LaVarn's report as well. Okay, very good. We're far over time. With all due respect. Thank you. And. So thank you, LaVarn.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you. And I think if there are maybe additional types of reports that might help directors, then we could have a further discussion of that, maybe something out of Finance Committee to generate some further comparisons that would elucidate some of these numbers more thoroughly. Next up is committee reports. Before we move to that, a couple of housekeeping things. My gentle colleagues, I was not aware that our House counsel was going to be unavailable this evening. We are, nobody notified me, so I didn't know that until earlier today, and I sent out the the agendas and all that. I'm not sure we need a whole hour in executive session, so I'm merely throwing this out for consideration. We are going to run out of time in the allotted open session time in about 15 minutes. I would be happy to entertain staying in open session an extra half hour to go through a couple extra motions, and that would still allow us a half hour in executive session to go over any of the issues that have come up this evening. So it's just a thought.
So moved.
So moved. Okay. Is there any objection to that? Just trying to facilitate, you know, functionality here. You people are wonderful. Okay, so we would go until 8 o'clock California time, 11 o'clock Eastern in open session, and then we go do a half hour in executive session. The other issue on that, was that you, Mr. Siegel, who moved that? I believe.
No, that was Campbell.
Yeah, it was
Campbell.
That was me. No.
Sorry. I thought it was.
I'm pretty good with voices. I thought that was okay. And was there was no objection? Was there a second on that? Just for the record.
Second.
Thank you, Andrea.
Andrea.
Thank you so much. Okay, so there was no
Thank
objection.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. We'll stay in till 8 o'clock. Cut through some more business. And to that effect, Mr. Siegel, thank you for moving that. If you could communicate with me, please, on committee assignments. I've heard from Ms. Priebus, and I'm not sure if you've taken a vote at your local board, but we don't have to do it in the context of this meeting, but please let me know what committees either that you've been elected to serve on or where there's a vacancy from KPFA that you'd like to serve on, okay? And I'll get you into the get you onto the notification list, and et cetera, for those committees. And then we can go on to committee reports. Coordinating committee is first up. Bill Crozier, chair. Bill, you have the floor.
Thank you, Summer.
Thank you.
Well, in your agenda, you'll see this motion that's been on the last couple of times, I guess. Motion one, date for next in-person PNB meeting. Before I read it, let me preface it. We did pass a motion at our last meeting last month from Lydia that had been left over from the previous meeting, which relates to the same topic. But this motion did come from the coordinating committee before she made hers, and I think it's still relevant. So motion one, date for next in-person meeting. The coordinating committee recommends that the PNB have its next in-person meeting on Friday, September 23rd through Monday, September 26th in Washington, D.C. It passed in the committee 5 yes, 2 no. Again, these are the same dates as the motion that Lydia presented, but without the extra language.
Madam Chair?
Ken, I would second that motion.
Object.
It doesn't need a second because it comes out of committee, actually, but thank you.
And I'd like to request we deal with this quickly. You know, people have probably made up their minds what they're going to do about it. We don't need to drag it out. Wait.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay.
This is Lydia.
Lydia, I heard you. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yes. Okay. There's already a motion about this. I'm not saying this will be brought forward. You would first have to rescind the existing motion. You
can't
have two motions with the same meeting date if you're saying the subject is meeting date and place.
Okay, one moment.
I'm having a really hard time hearing
Lydia's
you.
Lydia's phone has a really, like, are you on your cell phone, Lydia, or something?
No, I'm on a landline.
Are you on a speakerphone? It's extremely hard to hear you.
Is that better?
Oh, it's much better. Oh,
okay,
please.
Sorry.
I would ask everyone, please, try not to use speaker and phone unless you absolutely must.
Okay, sorry. Okay. So that is why you have in Robert's motions to rescind. You can certainly bring a motion like this in the course of the meeting, you know, and you can have it to substitute whatever motion is on the floor. But once a motion has been passed, the remedy for that, you have to make room. You have to get it out of the way if there's already an existing motion. So you need to rescind, which Alex had, that was the very reason that Alex made his notice about rescinding that motion. So it's just, one of those processes that only makes sense so that you don't have six, you know, motions with the same theme and the same purpose passed at the same time. And so this is completely out of order.
Thank you, Lydia.
Point of information on this.
Please,
serious.
Alex. I did bring prior notice at the last meeting of a motion to rescind that that motion, and I believe that the current motion coming out of the coordinating committee is simply an amendment to that motion, and it could fall under the prior notice requirement of a motion to rescind if you so rule that it is in fact a motion to rescind. So I think we should just go ahead and discuss the coordinating committee motion and debate it on its own merits.
I think you could prioritize the motion to rescind because it has to do with the time-sensitive nature, and Roberts does deal with moving things up based on that. Lydia's point is well taken. We've already got something scheduling with this date. If your motion to rescind, this is what was up in terms of date. It's really the language because otherwise the date is identical, and I did not know the extent of your motion to rescind, and I... you know, it seemed to be it was the language which you objected to in the prior motion predominantly. So this was up next because coordinating committee, and this in fact was the motion that came out of coordinating committee, which did not contain that language. So if we could entertain the motion to rescind, get that over with, up or down, and that will decide the fate of this particular motion, which is pending before us. Is there any objection to that, since Alex did previously notice it, and it essentially
this is Ken. I'm not understanding. The motion that Bill mentioned, he put on the floor, and one of the members objected to it. She doesn't feel we're following proper parliamentary procedure. However, the motion, this is trying to correct a violation of the bylaws, which is not necessary, in the previous motion. So this is a correction to that. This is asserting that the meeting will occur on certain dates at a certain location and makes no further statement and therefore doesn't violate the bylaws. It is a very bad precedent for the PNB to make to pass a motion that overtly violates the bylaws. And there's some kind of an intent there that's not necessary. It has nothing to do with the functioning of this board. There's some kind of an intent to violate the bylaws. I object to that. I don't see why we can't just vote on the motion that came out of the coordinating committee. The motion that Lydia had presented was not out of the coordinating committee. It was out of her origination, and it was very improper, but it also violated the bylaws. I don't know why people want to violate the bylaws. It has nothing to do with the PNB. We will meet in Washington in September. End of story.
Thank you.
I don't understand what all of this back and
chair,
forth is.
One moment, I can hear you. Is that Dan Siegel?
Okay. It is.
Please, Dan
okay.
Siegel,
so,
and then Alex, if no one else who hasn't spoken yet wishes to speak. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I believe that for the reasons Lydia stated, you should rule the motion out of order, and that would be consistent with your commitment to expediting process. However, if you do not do that, then I call the question on the motion.
Okay. And we had one more person on the stack. Alex.
Okay. I'd like to support Ken's position. This is a proper motion from the coordinating committee. There was the matter of a previous motion on this topic. I believe that giving prior notice on the motion to rescind that takes care of that. I don't think we actually have to go through the mechanics of voting on a separate motion to rescind, since it will accomplish the same thing if this current motion passes. So I think we should just vote, discuss and vote on the motion that's on the table.
Okay. Well, the question's been called, so we don't get to discuss a bunch. I think that... it's a proper motion out of the coordinating committee. I do understand Lydia's point. One can still rescind the prior motion because some of this has to do with record keeping. Some of it's functionality. When are we actually meeting? The other is, does the board want to continue to have certain language on the record as a decision the board has made? They're not necessarily the same issue. So I am looking. Do you have any citation, Lydia, on why it would be out of order to simply pass the motion from coordinating committee, which in no way change or vitiates the previous motion, and the previous motion can be revisited when we get down to rescission? And
yeah, there's plenty, but I don't have time to flip through Roberts right now. I'll send it after the fact. But,
to be perfectly honest, this is not going to erase the minutes of the previous meeting where the motion passed 12-6. It'll still be a matter of record, and, you know, what can I say? I mean, we can, let's just call the question, although we are also violating the bylaws, it is not in accord with Robert's rules. Everybody knows this, so please move on.
Well, it's always helpful to have citations, and
I know, but you can't anticipate people going that far off.
Well, it's been on the agenda for the last.
And
three
I will
sit
up. Questions called. Stop debate.
Thank you.
The question's
been called, but also,
just
to be clear, in terms of anticipation, the coordinating committee motion has been on there since before your motion was passed, and although
but not before my motion was noticed.
It's been on there for 2 months. And I'm just looking up, just give me a moment. I think they say stand down, which sounds awfully militaristic, but everyone please just give me a moment. Okay, and I am looking at dilatory motions to make sure this isn't one of them, and I don't believe it is, but I'm going to double check. Okay. I don't see anything which prevents this from being passed. And, of course, it can always be revisited as well. So the question's been called. Madam Secretary, would you be kind enough to call the roll, please? And a yes vote will affirm this date. The coordinating committee recommends that the PNB have its next in-person meeting on Friday, September 23rd, through Monday, September 26th in Washington, D.C. And then we can all start booking our travel arrangements tomorrow if this passes. So if you can please call the roll, Madam
Information.
Madam
yes.
Chair, I think you need to restate your last comment.
Pardon me.
Because that would be true even if this fails, since the other motion passed 12-6.
But there's a motion to rescind the other motion, and as you will recall, we had previous dates selected, and then they were
rescinded. Point of order, the question's been called.
Thank you.
Can we vote on the question?
I have a point of information from Member
point
Allen.
Point of information is when a member doesn't understand something.
That's
not
from Member Allen, not from...
Ken, come on, Summer. Call
okay.
Ken to order.
Okay, well, I need to call Lydia Stone to order as well, who's engaging in debate.
You
so,
called on her, though.
Yes,
you didn't call on Ken?
So the only person that I need to hear from right now is Teresa Allen, who had a point of order.
I just want to, based upon what you said, if I understand it correctly, the PNB meeting is a full day on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, correct?
That is correct, and our travel day would be Monday, giving us a half day of additional meeting time on Monday. We get a full extra day of meeting time doing this way. It's a four-day meeting, the last day being, you know, a half day with travel.
So the meetings are only on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, correct?
No, they would also take place on Monday morning, because normally we have a meeting that goes Friday, Saturday, and half of Sunday. This would be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and half of Monday with people being able to leave Monday afternoon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, if you could please call the roll, a yes vote will. The exact wording of the coordinating committee motion is the coordinating committee recommends that the PNB have its next in-person meeting on Friday, September 23rd through Monday, September 26th in Washington, D.C. Motion passed in committee, 5 yes, 2 no. Thank you.
Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Teresa Allen.
Yes.
Jessica Apollinar.
Pass.
Rodrigo Argueta.
Pass.
Nia Bediaco. Can't hear you, Nia. Wesley Bethune?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Lydia Brisson?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis? Can't hear
yes.
You. Yes. Heather Gray?
Yes.
Neville Johnson?
No.
Kimberly Orendorf. Laura
yes.
Priebus.
Kimberly, yes.
Oh, Kimberly, okay.
Thank you.
Laura, no.
Laura Priebus.
No.
Marcel Rees.
I'm sorry.
How do you vote?
No.
Dan Siegel.
Abstain.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Andrea Turner.
No.
Okay. Nia, I didn't hear your vote.
Hello?
Yes, how did you vote?
No.
Rodrigo?
No.
Okay,
Jessica Apollinar passed also.
Abstain.
Did we get a vote from Athea?
And I abstain as well. Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 yeses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 noes. And 1, 2, 3 abstentions.
Did you please repeat what I'm saying before with the vote counting?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
To repeat the vote count, please, Madam Secretary.
Oh, okay. Let me do this. 1, 2.
I had heard 9 yes, 7 no, and 3 abstention, but if you could clarify, please, that would...
Okay,
Madam Secretary, did you have
zone?
The final count?
We lost our time zone.
I think we may have. Afia, we can't hear you.
I had 973.
That's what I had also, 973. So
yes, that's right.
If there's no, okay, I'm not sure where our secretary went, but the several people heard 973, so... unless we get conflicting data momentarily, the motion passes, and Bill, in the interest of time, hopefully our secretary will be back on the line where we can hear her shortly.
I have a point of information about this.
Please.
Since if it confirmed that this motion has passed, it appears to supersede the previous motion that was passed on the same issue. Can we then put forward a motion to delete from the minutes the previous motion that was passed, and it does have some objectionable language, and as far as the substance of the motion, it's identical.
Well, I'll take a moment as chair here, since we're not sure where the secretary is, with your indulgence, Bill. Page 332, Robert's Rules of Order, line 15, improper motions. I believe this is what you had asked me to rule on, Alex, and unfortunately I did not have the Robert's Rules of Order citation at the ready regarding the previous motions. Motions that conflict with the corporate charter, constitution, or bylaws of a society, or with procedural rules prescribed by national, state, or local laws, are out of order. And if any motion of this kind is adopted, it is null and void. Likewise, this would address what Lydia had just raised, motions that are out of order if they conflict with a motion. This does not conflict. It's identical as to the substantive portions of the motion relating to time and date of meeting. Likewise, motions are out of order if they conflict with a motion that has been adopted by the society. So I believe that the previous one, I don't think we should necessarily be addressing this at this point in the agenda, but it appears from this that things which are in conflict with the bylaws of the society are automatically out of order. So,
Point of information, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Should we then not have voted on that first motion because it conflicts with the bylaws?
Sure. I'm probably the person at fault there as the chair, and unfortunately I have not committed all of Robert's Rules of Order to my memory, and I did receive an objection,
understood,
which I could have ruled on differently had I known which page. Oh, that is so loud. Thank you, whomever just muted. Just to clarify, Robert's Rules of Order, addressing the fact that if a society does, in fact, adopt something which is in conflict with its own bylaws, it's automatically null and void and doesn't actually take the ruling of the chair to be so. So I think based on that, that is essentially a null and void motion as being in conflict with our bylaws, as so stated, whereas this one merely sets the next date. So,
as is this meeting.
I'm sorry?
As is this meeting. It doesn't qualify as a special meeting, but continue.
Well, it qualifies much better as a special meeting than any meeting that has occurred prior to my efforts to make it comply with every little bit of it.
Can we move on with the meeting?
Please.
Yes, this is. I call the agenda. Can we move
Thank
on with the meeting?
Thank you so much. Anyway, I don't know if Afia, are you back with us? Can you?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Was there any change to that vote count, 973, or was that what everyone had heard correctly?
That's the count I have.
Thank you, ma'am. That's what we heard as well. Okay. Yes, who is that?
It's Arlene.
Hi, Arlene. How are you? Please, go ahead.
I've somehow lost track a little bit, so can you summarize where we are with what we've passed?
Certainly. We have passed the original coordinating committee motion, which reads, the coordinating committee recommends that the PNB have its next in-person meeting on Friday, September 23rd through Monday, September 26th, 2011, obviously goes without saying, in Washington, D.C. So that has just passed, and I was covering the issues regarding the previous motion, since we have a rescission on the agenda, and it was brought up as a rule issue of order with this motion. So I don't think we need to discuss it further here. How we deal with it in the records is something we should take up later on in the agenda so that we can get through the remaining items, I think, in the committee reports.
Summer?
Yes?
I'm not sure this is appropriate, but could I make a brief announcement that's related to that?
Please.
If you could all give us until about 11 o'clock Pacific time to notify the travel agent, unless you're making your own reservations, then we would be very happy to start making your reservations. I'm asking that everybody have everything completed well ahead of 2 weeks in advance of the meeting. We're going to direct the travel agent not to take reservations within that two-week period. So please, make your reservations as soon as possible, as cheaply as possible, and also please get with Marcel or Chris on the roommate situation.
Thank you. Well, to follow up on that, I did send out a poll to the entire board regarding roommates. I've heard back from, I'd say, between a third and half the board so far, so I appreciate everyone who has responded thus far. I would appreciate if the rest of you would write back to me, because I'm now getting together a nice list of those people who need an individual room and those who are willing to have roommates so that we can start coordinating them with Marcel and with Chris so we get you booked in with a roommate. And on the travel thing, I have heard from our colleague Wesley Bethune in Texas that Southwest Airlines is running a nice $59 one-way ticket right now, so that's a 120-round trip. I've heard from Nia that there are, you know, things going on with the trains for those on the East Coast, and also some issues which may cause travel to go up in price. So I would go beyond that, and I would ask everyone, to the best of your ability, whoever can book tomorrow and the next day and over the weekend and start communicating with the office on Monday, the more people we get booked, the sooner, probably the cheaper it will be for the foundation, and there seem to be some specials going on regarding travel right now that could be taken advantage of.
Sure.
So thank you. I hope everyone will be as frugal as possible and make your travel arrangements. Bill, return, please.
Okay, well, we're over time for the coordinating committee report, so it's fine with me just going to the next one because we keep putting these other committees off. We haven't gotten to them for a long time, unless somebody wants to extend time for this.
Okay. It's the Saturday teleconference issue. Bring it up at the next meeting.
That's okay with me.
Okay. If there's no objection, then we will move on. Tracy Rosenberg, as the board knows, is in Mexico, so she's not here to present on the Finance Committee portion this evening, so we will move on to that, which brings us to myself. I've chair pro tem the last couple of meetings of the Audit Committee. We did not have our most recent meeting, unfortunately, but we do have four motions that came out of Audit Committee. I had a nice chat with one of our members today about some of this. Not everything necessarily should even be here because some of these things are the role of the Audit Committee, and some shouldn't be here because they're not the role of the Audit Committee. So, but I'll go through them, and they need to be approved or disapproved by the board if they sort of go outside of the purview of what normally is performed by the Audit Committee. I think everyone agrees the Audit Committee is charged with making a recommendation and selecting an audit firm to recommend to the board and to the foundation to do the annual audit. So motion number four on there has selection of an audit firm. It did firm up a little in terms of how many audit firms we should hear from. So I'm going to run through the motions. And another one kind of duplicates some of the role that goes on in the Finance Committee. So the first one is a motion for financial data, that the National Office supply latest data every month, 1 week prior to the Audit Committee meeting. And that would be like all of the same types of reports that get submitted to the Finance Committee. So is there any objection?
Point of information.
Please, go ahead, Campbell.
Was this voted on in committee?
Oh.
Yeah, these were all voted on in committee.
Because there's no notation.
You know what? And that is because, unfortunately, my volunteer secretary for those two meetings did not return minutes to me, and I did follow up on that, but I have not obtained minutes yet. So I actually listened to 2 hours or 3 hours of audit committee to when I put all of these motions on the agenda so that I could basically retrieve what had occurred because I didn't have any minutes. So I don't recall having the vote count on that. The other ones I did put the vote count in because I was able to obtain those. So I apologize, Campbell. I just don't have it.
Okay.
But it was voted on. I would love to tell you by how much. I don't recall there being a lot of objection to it, frankly.
Was there any additional detail in regard to latest data, or what are we talking about here, and to whom is that supposed to be supplied?
To the Audit Committee. There were members of the Audit Committee who, I believe if you go down to Motion 3, ongoing financial viability, et cetera, who wanted to see basically the same types of information that the Finance Committee looks at on an ongoing basis in terms of some of the things that were discussed earlier during the CFO's report of cash flow, major payables, how close to the edge we lurk, you know, all those type of things. So I think it was to essentially see all the same types of financial data that go to the Finance Committee on a monthly basis.